Blog Talk Radio.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Fulfilling my own destiny. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Wherever you are, you are in a world of ours. You are listening to Purpose. I'm your host, Cindy Freeman, and it is September 11th, 2015, after the Planetary Center. And yes, many people are remembering that, continuing to eulogize that even. But today we'd like to talk more about, instead of where were you when the world stopped turning, where are you today? And what are the positive results from 9/11? And we'll get into that in a little bit. Quickly, Purpose Talk Radio has guests who are living their purpose, who want to share with you how they came to achieve it, how they came to know what the purpose is, and hopefully a few things that you can use in your life to achieve your purpose. Today, thing is to turn things around, get them more positively. And with that in mind, I would like to invite you to be a guest. If you are someone living your purpose, you can get a hold through our website or email directly. Our website is purposetalkradio.com, PURPOSETALKRADIO.com. If you want to email, you can do so at CINDY at PurposeTalkRadio.com. Or you can find me all on Facebook. You can send a message through the Purpose Talk Radio Facebook page, through any of my sites, Positive Media, Writer, social media. There are several ones where Cindy Freeman will show up and or profile. There's a couple ways that you can participate if you'd like to be a part of it. The first would be quite simple. The chat room is at the bottom of the show page. Can also go to, in a minute, you'll be able to go to Purpose Talk Radio Conversations on Facebook, and there is also a discussion there going on. It'll be at the top of that group. And that will stay there until next time. We have a then it might all have that post. But for now, you'll be able to have to enjoy there. Because you see, when the chat room for the show closes, whereas if you put it in the Facebook group, if you do have Facebook, then you are able to do us throughout the week. And if you are one of those who listen to the show archived, which seems most of our audience, since it does normally broadcast at noon on the East Coast, noon in the Pacific Coast, 3 p.m. on the East Coast, and 8 p.m. in the UK, most of our listeners are archive listeners. And since that is the case, I do end up coming over and wanting to participate in the conversation after the show has aired live. And so the Facebook group is a great place for you to be able to do that after the fact. Let's see here. I don't know, just in general, what do you suggest? A anything living in Europe, you can send me that email or comment in the also. And I think that is pretty much, oh, I cannot forget our opening song, which is called the theme song for our show. It is I Am Who I Am by the group True Trinity. And that would be the vocalist. And she, along with Richard, is co-writers on that song. And so you can find that at truetrinity.com, TRUETRINITY.com. They have a couple of their songs over there as well, which you can purchase and or listen to. Maybe this theme song and there is Be the Difference. And so both of those songs are over there. And soon, we hope to be writing again. You know, having three people get schedules together just does not work, especially when they're in three different phases of their life. So it's kind of been very interesting to work that out. Rachel's got a couple of kids, go for a second career. Jillian's pretty solid in her career and keeping her business going. So we all three of us do have different things going on. And that makes it kind of tough to get together sometimes. But I am grateful to those two ladies that we have not only the Purpose Talk theme song, but a couple other things that are in the works and happening musically. So let's see what else we have. Making sure I get all of the right for you. What's helping me also. There it is. Now we can put the Purpose Radio Conversations comment for you. Having said all that, the topic today is finding the positive and what has happened to you pretty much since the original 9/11. And, you know, the thing is, it's not that I want to minimize anything that happened that day. You know, I hope everybody understands that tragedy. It was as much of a tragedy as the attacks on the World Trade Center were back in 1993. It is as much that the shootings in Columbine, the attacks at the Boston Marathon, all these many, many things that have happened over time that have tried to destroy communities and groups of people. I can't diminish that. And those that were directly impacted by it will always be impacted by it. I can't take away those feelings, and I'm not about to try to take away those feelings, because those are yours, and you have those, and you are entitled to those. But what I'd like to do is talk a little bit more to the, shall I say, the masses, people out there who are posting, to remember that so many people died, and this and that, and that it was this group of people that attacked America, and those kinds of things. That is what I would like to see put to an end. I'd like us to look instead at what types of things have happened good out of that, how the community came together to find and go through the rubble to see if there were any survivors, to see if there was any chance of you know, someone being able to still live. If there was, you know, and identifying all the people that were part of that, the bodies, the remains, that bringing that community together was just enormous. And for that, that is probably one of the biggest things that came out of 9/11, as well as any other tragedy that we've had, whether here in the United States or anywhere else. And that is what's been so amazing about things. You know, people come together, they want to help each other, they want to support each other. How many people decided to go to church that day and learn from each other and pray for each other? There were a lot. There were some people who didn't believe in God. Now, you know, both ways. It's gone to, how could God have let this happen? But then there's other people that strengthen their faith because they knew that a belief in a higher supreme being was what would get them through, or for them was the only thing that would get them through. Those are the things that were available for everyone at that time. And today I am broadcasting from home, which is very different. So the thing is with that, you will occasionally hear some outside noise, like right now. Boy, oh boy. You know, those things are part of life, and hopefully that will go away pretty soon, like it is right now. Anyway, so, you know, when I was home that day when the news came on, I was home because my dog and I had just gotten attacked by a couple of pit bulls. And it just so happened that I was home resting because I wasn't really bit, which was the interesting piece about that. But the two dogs came and attacked my dog, and I was able to jog the one and get it off and bop the other one over the head so it released my dog. And so I had some scrapes and bruises on my hand. My dog was, you know, in some pain and needed some surgery. So I was off for the day. And I woke up to hear the news like everybody else did, that a plane had hit one of the towers of the World Trade Center. And yeah, I'll remember the shock of I tended to sleep with my TV on. And now I hardly ever turn on the TV. But that day when I heard that, it was like, I'm not hearing it. I can't possibly hear this right. I must still be in dreamland. And yet, it was such a shock, like everybody else, that I started crying, even though I didn't know what for or who for. I tried to get a hold of some friends that I knew were in New York, Maryland, that kind of area that was even close to being impacted by that. I didn't know anyone who worked at the Trade Towers, so that I wasn't directly impacted on that level. And I am grateful for that. I am grateful. You know, but I watched the news and I watched people come together and dig through the rubble and look for something that they could grab onto of their loved one, of their workplace, the pictures that went down that, you know, those who were supposed to be, quote unquote, at work that day. You know, like a lot of things, those things could be replaced. The people couldn't. That is very true. And even now, you know, Americans, even on this day, still pull together. And they say, remember when, and let us not forget. And let's not forget the men and women who work every day tirelessly to keep our lives protected. The fire, the police, the military, the pilots that go from one place to another, sometimes barely being able to see in the clouds and the weather that comes by, let alone that day having their controls taken over. Ground Zero has turned into a beautiful memorial for those that died that day and who died in 1993 with the first attack on the towers. And it's said that it'll always be maintained as an open green space instead of that area that was those high-rise buildings. You know, even that day, on the one plane, the passengers bound together to try to keep any further damage to a minimal. You know, yes, they lost their lives, but they pretty much took the plane into the ground instead of into yet one more American building. We all picked up our phones and contacted family members that maybe we hadn't talked to in a while to say how much we miss them, we love them. And yes, I think that. I think of how I did that even that day. You know, I personally went to the National Federation of Blind a few years after the event that I'm just calling the event at this point, the World Trade Center Tower. And I was in Dallas, Texas. It was my very first national convention. And at that point, I was experiencing life as a blind person really, truly for the first time. Person I got to hear was Michael Hengson. And he was a blind man. And he uses his a guide dog. And he and his dog, Roselle, worked up on that 78th floor of the North Tower when it was hit. You know, it was really cool. Roselle not only led Michael down those 1,400 stairs to safety, she led other people who were able to follow Michael. So it became that someone who normally might need the help to be led out of such a situation, such as Michael was being blind. Instead, what happened is he helped others get out safely before the tower collapsed. He was able to help other people in the time when it didn't seem like anyone else was going to be able to help them get down because there was too much stuff going on, too much that couldn't be seen with the rubble, with the dust, the smoke, everything that was around. Other people weren't able to do that, see it. Some of them put on things over their eyes and let each other out or did that, protected their eyes in some way, shape, or form. They wouldn't be able to see clearly. Instead, they were able to follow Don, the blind man, and get down to the bed. They are also a memory to what power and strength we can have as people. You know, some people that were not to they had to go back to get something for one of the kids. They had a day off of vacation. Train. There were numerous stories like that about how many people survived what happened that day because they were not at work, because they trusted their God. They followed through on whatever their plan was otherwise for the day. And therefore, they did not perish. Therefore, they were able to continue to talk about how lucky, how blessed they were. You still hear some of those stories today. Do know that they really were survivors for something, for some other purpose. They didn't suffer like those that died, and their purpose now is to make us aware of and listening to, well, some of our safety things when, as we know now, there were some hints, some indications that this was going to happen. Now, more than in the past, we listen to people that find these breaches, that hear about the possibility of something like this happening, and they try to stop it. They stop people, sneak in things on the planes that shouldn't be there. Now, some people say we went too far when you can't bring, you know, a bottle of shampoo or soap or something onto the bus. Jeez, onto the planes, because there might be something with it. Well, you know, it just changed the way we travel. That's all it really did. It meant that instead of arriving 5 minutes before the plane takes off, we might have to arrive an hour or two and maybe start that vacation or that trip a little more relaxed, because for an hour or two before the plane takes off, we're able to have some downtime and time to ourselves. Instead of doing that rush, rush, run, oh, am I going to make it? Oh, man, what if that gate closed? What if the plane takes off? What if? Instead, we are able to check in, do have the inspection done, sit down, have something to eat, maybe meet the person that will be sitting next to us or flying in the same plane, and build up a small relationship or rapport. Those are all possibilities too, as that happens. Now, what other things have happened? Well, I don't want to call him the good buddy, because that's not the terminology most of us can handle. Even in a sarcastic way. But what's been able to happen is our enemy, if you want to call him that, has been caught. You know, we are happy to say that Bin Laden is gone. Saddam Hussein is gone. In jail. His folks, his players, his team is gone. You know, those kinds of things. We find out who our real enemies are, so to speak. You know what? The other thing is, we kind of have found out that our enemies sometimes ourselves, because we bully, ridicule, harass people who are different from us. we don't listen to our intuition. We just listen to somebody else or some other thing. Listen to, well, honestly, the news media or the Facebook posts that, oh, pull in the negative pieces of it that remind us again what a tragedy it was. So anyway, he said, Osama bin Laden's gone. You know, Saddam Hussein's gone from previous issues. Some of those folks that we don't want around and don't want in leadership, and the people of those countries we want in leadership, are gone or out of the way, and that's a good thing. So, you know, we have safer air travel. We have, because of tighter security, we have the applications for visas that are more strict. Sometimes the people don't believe the media quite as readily as they used to. I think that's an interesting piece to look at, too. You know, there were a lot of stories around that. And who said this? Who didn't say this? Who didn't stop? Whatever. And some of it was proven, some of it couldn't be proven. And now it is a little bit tougher for some of the media out there because they're not trusted, they're not believed. Well, and that's okay. That just pushes them to do things like this and find positive spins to things. To find something that the reader will now pick up and read. Instead of that, it bleeds, it leads, or bad news sells adage. We can turn it around and we can say, hey, we don't want to listen to that anymore. We don't want to do that anymore. Instead, we want the positive things. And when we can trust our media to give us that, we're able to turn that around too, and we can trust our media to give us accurate information. And I'm not saying that all the media was wrong or that they missed things. Believe me, I don't. It is my first profession. So I'm not going to belittle the situation. But I know that sometimes there is bias in reporting. And is get it out on the sales floors. So, let's see, what other wonderful things do we have? Well, we have the museum that's also on the site right now. That opened just a year ago. Well, just a little bit over a year ago, in May of 2014. There are a total of 23,000 images, 10,300 artifacts, nearly 2,000 oral histories. You know, we figure most of those are family and friends' accounts of them. You know, there's over 500 hours of video. But you know what? It gave family and friends opportunities. Really thought of them. Too bad we can't do that now. Well, people are still alive. Sometimes we're afraid to say those words, I love you. And you know what? I am really guilty. And I've got a couple friends that typically listen to the show, and you know, I hope they were sitting down when they even heard those words come out of my mouth. Because that's very tough for me to say. And it's only because I wasn't raised using those words like many of my friends and family were. So, you know, it means that we say what their loved one meant to them. How that person was brought to this world to change it. So, what I didn't tell you beyond the chat room, if you'd like to participate in the conversation, if you're calling in on Skype, please press the number 1 on your keypad if you want to talk to me. If you're calling in on the phone, you can do so at 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. And that way you can feel free to join the chat itself. And we do have one comment in the chat room from Siren Speak, and said 7 years ago today, my grand step nephew was born, and that's turned the remembrance of this day into a reason to rejoice and give gratitude. And that is so true. New life that replaces other life and makes it so awesome to celebrate. Because then, you know, and that kid's never going to, probably, you know, they'll hear about all the things that happened on 9/11 before he was even born. He'll hear them. He'll get them in the history classes. He'll do all that. But hopefully his family pushes the happy and doesn't put it off and go, oh, we can't celebrate that day because of. I'm guessing, knowing, you know, about you, that you would not allow your family to do that, that instead, you know, you'll help them celebrate that day as something great for your grand step nephew. So that's so cool. Thank you for sharing that. Other things that happened that out of that, I've got a list of a couple more here and I'm going to scroll down. You know, there is a really cool page that I found, and unfortunately I've lost it. I'll have to post it in the chat later. Kids had to say about that day and how it turned their lives around. You know, the old Art Link letter, kids say the darndest things. Well, you know what? They do say the darndest things. Open your attention. Often to have us wake up and say, oh, really? Oh, is that how you see the world? And it was cool to find that site because these kids were 12 and under. And how, what they know about 9/11. So, you know, the other thing is, you know, the stock market kind of crashed back then. But at the same time, a lot of people made a lot of money because they were able to get in when it was low. They were able to be part of the rebuilding of the Memorial Square, what's now the Memorial Square. They would go out and help also. It may have started off a global recession for us, but the other piece of that is, again, on the other side of it, it helped us look at things now. You know, last week, weeks ago, when we had that setback, the stock market again. Oh, to make sure we don't have another crash. That people don't panic like they did back in 2001. And I think they did a pretty good job of stopping that because they knew what to look for and what might be able to be said. And we get out of the bad, we always learn a lesson. I am a firm believer of that. And if we don't, then it just remains a mistake. Not something bad or harsh or terrible. it's just no mistake that we have to come out of. And a lot of people do look at that as it being terrible. And hopefully, you know, I'll find it a better way to looking at things. Oh, let's find my little old list here. Of what are the things there was. Sorry about that. The Patriot Act, which we all know about. We all know when we fly, we've got to check in. We've got to make sure we're not carrying anything. And you know, I think also, I mentioned the time lapse on that. I think the other thing that did happen is some of us started looking at how we travel. What do we need to take with us? What do we not need to take with us? When we go from one place to the other. Do we need that big bottle of shampoo? No. Do we need just a little thing? Do we know that that hotel is probably going to have it when we get to our destination? Those are all possibilities and probabilities. So you don't have to take all that stuff sometimes. Many people started up emergency preparedness kits. And you know, that's not just in for evacuations, for storms, for accidents, for other types of emergencies. If people are prepared to move from one location to another, without having to, for lack of a better word, freak out as they try to grab some things that they need, toothpaste, toothbrush, water, things that they might need in the next several hours, a change of clothes, a nutritious snack, you know, proteins, whatever. Those flashlights, people make sure that their flashlights have batteries in them now, in case something happens. And I know a lot of homes did that before. This is just a little bit more. It also added to communities more succinct emergency programs that if they have to evacuate, they know how to do it and what they can do and who needs to be contacted and who will step forward. You know, a lot of communities already have first responder systems in place and people who are designated as first responders. Like I told you last week, when I was at the hospital getting the TB skin test read, they had to call in the first responder team because somebody passed out while his blood was being drawn. Well, okay, they had that right in place. Is that a result of 9/11? Probably not. Might it be? Maybe. You know, it's just the residual of it, that those first responders know that if something happens, they jump into action. They know what to do. They're trained. They're practiced. They're all of that. Fire, police, ambulance, schools, you know, have places now where in case of emergency, everybody will report to one place. A particular school, and the media will identify that and tell people where to go as part of these emergency preparedness programs. And again, that means that families know where to find their loved ones, where to look, where to start. It means that, you know, a kid even, if the family practices this kind of thing, even a kid who might get separated from parents knows exactly where to go in the case of. Because, you know, if there's fires, if there's weather, you know, yes, families try to all get out together. It doesn't always happen. And this way everybody knows where to go. So that emergency preparedness situation was definitely a positive result out of the 9/11 situations. You know, we've had a more streamlined attention to the fight against terrorism. We've got other governments involved with us now as the United States, looking at travel as well. It wasn't just the United States that looked at it. It was all around the world. Some places more than others, that's true. Because they thought, well, we weren't impacted, and therefore, you know, but the United Nations got involved in some of this and said, look, we need to make sure our travelers from one country to another are safe at all times. You know, our government was able to focus on the awareness, and so that there's less likelihood of it happening again. Well, you know what? Folks looking at gun control, one way, shape, or form. Concealed weapons, not concealed weapons. Again, being able to take that kind of stuff on a plane. I think all is a result of, now that the gun control stuff obviously is still being debated every single day, of where we should be able to, who should be able to carry a gun. And that's going to continue probably for a very, very long time. You know, I think generations are now talking more about their history. I presume, like we had talked about, Siren Speak, nephew at some point will be talking about it as a discussion rather than, oh, the kids should be learning about that in school. You know, I found that families did talk more about history and not that it was historical. It was, this is what's happening now and this is maybe why it happened and this is how it relates back to maybe in 1993, the original attack on the World Trade Center, how it went back to the day that we're living in for me and the start of our world wars. Many of those things, I think those conversations started to come up again. And families didn't leave the discussion to just the schools. They started to talk about that home because the kids were bringing it home and had so many questions. I think one of the other really significant things that came out of 9/11 is there were a lot of monetary foundations that were started to recognize service people, to recognize those who had died, to recognize folks that, well, for lack of a better phrase again, felt outcast and felt like the only thing they could do was attack somebody else, was to be in this organization that attacks other people. There are support groups, there are funds, there are resources out there now that allow people to bind together and find something that's better, that feels better, that they fit in, instead of just feeling out there like there is no other. Man, you know, I'm just going to crash into the tower today. We don't know if that was a thought or if I can't fit in anything, so I'm just going to find a way to take my life. Maybe. Was it the Quran? Nobody knows. We can't talk to those people. They're gone. We can only guess, surmise, try to put some pieces together. It won't happen. We will never really know. Some of these memorial funds is really pretty cool. There's one that's called the Carl Binney Memorial Fund, and it honors the firefighter whose crew headed straight for the towers as they fell. And each year, these folks ride in motorcycles and collect money, not only for the World Trade Center, but they donate the money then. One year they donated it to the victims of Hurricane Sandy. Other years they've donated it for other tragedies that happened in the world. Now, had 9/11 not been set up, not happened, would that money be there? That would have been available for the victims of Hurricane Sandy? Maybe not. Because there was about $10,000 available in that fund at the time. We just never know. There was a man named John Feal, F-E-A-L. And he sustained some injuries at Ground Zero and went to the hospital. And while he was there, he found many people that were injured a lot worse than he was. And he wanted to help also. He started the Feel Good Foundation, and that's specifically to assist first responders and emergency personnel. Later, they worked to get some legislation. A permanent and mandatory World Trade Center health program. And that was signed into law. And now it's a way, again, for people to have come together and get money and financial support. There was a very young man named Peter Alderman. He was just 25 years old. And he was killed because he was attending a conference at the towers. His parents have created a memorial fund for him. And it's to heal the emotional wounds left by terrorist attacks and other areas of mass violence. And that included, the things that have happened in Columbine and other areas. The foundation also set up trauma centers in Cambodia and Kenya, Liberia and Uganda. So it helps get rid of that stereotype that goes along with needing psychiatric care, too, after these things. I know a lot of people, when they go through a trauma, it's not just their physical body. It is their mental psyche that's affected, too. And usually it happens and lasts a lot longer than the physical wounds show. So sometimes they need some extra care. It's plain and simple. And it's costly. Sometimes insurance doesn't cover it because it's not directly related to their health. It's something that's come as a result of something else. Even a car accident can be traumatic for people. Sometimes they need some extra help. There is a children's fund that was set up for a man who worked in one of the brokerage firms and lost his life. They also were able to help with Hurricane Sandy folks to the tune of about $1 million. And they set forth a school program called Zippy's Friends so that the kids can be helped. Their anxiety and their depression and the things that they've lost. You know, there are folks who lost their lives trying to help others. They weren't directly involved in the towers. They weren't directly on the planes. But because they helped, you know, they had issues with lung cancer and heart issues and brain issues and all of that. And some of them have needed extra medical care. And some funds have been set up in their name also, so that others can be helped as they go into some of these areas that, you know, risk their own health. Plain and simple. You know, you get water that's been standing there for a couple weeks. You get bodies that are decaying. And so that has some residual effect with bacteria and all that. And some of these funds that have been set up allow people to be able to get the medical resources they need after they help out. You know, there's the 9/11 day. You know, well, I've got to thank the Huffington Press for this, the Huffington Post, excuse me, because they've done a great job of putting together some of these financial pieces and some of the things I was able to find on what awesome monetary things were set up to be able to, or as a result of 9/11. You know, they've been able, because of 9/11, some of the funds were set up for, and I said it before, Hurricane Sandy, San Diego, Oklahoma, Hurricane Katrina, for that matter, Louisiana, all of this, people were able to get help because it was set up. There are funds for college students. There's a lot of different things that are out there. Helping, you know, money going to the Red Cross. There's another one. Because people knew that the Red Cross was helping out, they turned around and donated more things maybe than they ever had before. They looked around their houses and said, what don't I need? How can I give it to someone who might be suffering some tragedy in the future? And hopefully we don't forget some of those organizations now. It's been 14 years. Do you donate to the Red Cross anymore? Did you before? Were you a blood donor right after the incident in the towers? And now maybe you've let that slip off. You know, there was lots of people who donated blood right after that also. Now, the thing is, we think about these things right after the tragedy. How long do we think about them beyond that? And it's kind of a magic question. Does it just happen for short periods of time? And what can we do to keep that attention on the positive that was created out of it? You know, I hope some of our traditional news media folks will maybe get a hold of some of these memorial funds, these monetary funds, and say, look, what have you been able to do with that money? Who have you been able to help? Who was able to get back to work because of it? And then we can find a way to keep that train of positive information, positive energy moving forward. Okay, one more time, if you'd like to be a part of this conversation, please dial 347-205-9074. 347-205-9074. Because I think I'm winding down on where in my research I found anything, any other things. And if somebody came up with anything else, I'd love to hear about it. Oh, I know one of the other pieces was that animals were protected. You know, there were a lot more shelters that, you know, people didn't have their animals. Of course, if they died, they didn't have any. The animals didn't go anywhere. So what happened to their pets, their families? Even that. And some of those families that lost a loved one were able to get some pets and some animals to help ease that pain. It never replaces the person. That's true. But it does ease the emotional sting. You can't replace anybody. But you can take away some of that harshness of losing them and what that means. We know the FBI came more into focus as to what their role was and when and how. We had more alert systems put in various communities that didn't have them before. There's other alert systems that were put in. It's funny, I was at school the other day at noon. And it was the very first time in a long time that I heard a noon whistle. And I tried to explain to one of my deaf instructors what the noon whistle meant and what it was for. And, you know, something like that was set up originally. It was allowing people to get a break for lunch. And it's since then has allowed people to be notified of emergencies, weather emergencies in particular, when it's not noon and the whistles stay on steady sound. It was interesting to explain or try to explain what a noon whistle was and why it was going off. And I'd kind of forgotten myself what it was about because it had become something so natural in my life. When I grew up in Miami Falls, the noon whistle blew. I don't hear it very much in Milwaukee. I was really surprised when I heard it the other day. Maybe it was a special moment that somebody lit it to take something off, have their work. Where was I going with that? Sorry. Find a way to take the break from their work. And it gave me pause a little bit, thinking, wow, what have I done so far today? If noon is a midway point for a typical working person, what have I done so far in my day? I got to tell you, it wasn't a lot. So that was something that, yes, was around before 9/11. But as a result, I think, has had people pay attention more to their time and time in general and how they spend it. And if they want to speak, whether it be with their mouth, with their hands, whatever, and say what's on their mind, they've got the opportunity to do that. Let's see. There is a terrorist threat integration center that was set up under the Bush administration. We already talked about the border protection, the aviation security. Oh, the other, back with those alarms. In addition to that, for a while on TV, what we saw was the alert system on our TVs, too. Where we were at high or low alerts, going from green, yellows, oranges, red alerts, security alerts. You know, for the most part, things were pretty much yellow, orange, even teal, no problem. But yet on the high end of it, I think that is pretty much a good covering of all the wonderful things that happened, the positive, the good things that happened as a result of 9/11. And what I want to share with you as I look through my final pieces is I'm going to, as I've done the last few shows, play for you the positive theme song. And the reason I'm doing that today is not necessarily because of the positive news itself, but hopefully it reminds you that with all these discussions about 9/11 and about other tragedies that have happened in the world, that you're able to find a positive spin on it. So that instead of eliciting anger, fear, panic, we can change the world. We can be a piece of the positive that, you know, yes, the fear is out there, and yes, we need to be careful, but that finds a way to turn some of that energy around to something a little bit better. So I'd like to play that song for you, and then I'll come back in. Right after I grab something to drink. There we go. Thank you.
This is breaking news just in. The change has finally come. You can hear the voices on the corner shouting, positive news is here today. Positive news every day for the rest of our lives.
I feel a change is coming. Will be the change that's coming. Let's change perspective and be effective. We'll impact the world one story at a time. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. I feel the change is coming. We are the change that's coming. We'll find the positive, replace the negative. We'll see the ripples affect the world one story at a time. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. I feel a change is coming. We are the change that's coming. One person at a time, our thoughts will align. We'll see the universe flow, one story at a time. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. I feel a change is coming. Change is coming. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. We'll be the change that's coming. We'll see the change that's coming. We are the change that's coming.
Thank you again. That is the Positive News song. It can be found at the site positivenewsmedia.org, PositiveNewsMedia.org. There's also a video that goes with that song if you're interested in getting that as well. Positive News Media is a piece of what Purpose Talk Radio is about. We do try to find the positives of things. We try to turn the attitudes, the tone, the picture around just a little bit to allow for a more positive energy in the world. And whether you believe in a God, a higher power, an energy source, or whatever, we use those feelings, those connections with whatever that being is to help us get through the world. My choice, my personal choice is God or higher source if I'm with my 12-step group. And it really doesn't matter what it's called. You know, I use prayer and meditation to help get the words, the things that I need for the show and for the things that I do to try to change the direction of the world. And I hope all of you have some spiritual journey or something that helps you find what you need when a tragedy, something disarming shows up in your life so that you're able to not dwell on it for long periods of time, like 14 years, and that instead you'll never forget the situation. But you're able to look at it in a different light. And I hope that our conversation today on Purpose Talk Radio has allowed that to come forth. If you'd like to hear this show again, the archived link is exactly the same as the regular link, as the live broadcast. If you'd like to comment on what was said, please do come over to Purpose Talk Radio Conversations on Facebook. Hopefully you have a Facebook page. And feel free to, if you're not part of that group, ask to join it. And I'll put you in and you can comment on the post for this particular show. Anyone who wants to talk about some aspect of living your purpose, whatever that means to you, I invite you to send me an email at Cindy, C-I-N-D-Y, at PurposeTalkRadio.com. C-I-N-D-Y at PurposeTalkRadio. Love to hear your comments, your suggestions, all of that for the show. If you've got guests that you would like me to bring on, I'd love to do that. If you would have any interest in helping out with the show and scheduling guests, I've got a list of them that I'd like to bring on. And I'll be honest, I love doing the interviews. I don't necessarily like scheduling the guests because it's a follow-up thing. And I'd love, there's lots of people I'd love to have on here because I know they're living their purpose. And I'm looking for someone who might be interested, willing, able to help, and maybe we could do some trade for some of the services I do. I don't know. Just tossing it out there. Because this is not your traditional radio. You know, we can change the day, we can change the time, we can do all that, which is great. And I'm looking at some alternative days for the show, perhaps, up the road. So if you can't make Fridays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, or 8 p.m. and 8 p.m. in the UK, and would like to do it a different day, let's talk about it. Maybe we can do a live show at that time, or pre-record it. Those are all possibilities as well. Because it's much easier for me when I have somebody to interview and talk to than it is to just come up with a topic and give you all my perspective. I love having other people's perspective in here as well. Let's see. For now, we are airing on Fridays. It's looking to potentially change. Don't know for sure. I want to go doing some job shadowing also on Fridays to see what my purpose is at this point in life, because it's changed from what it was a few years ago. And I'm not entirely sure what I want to do when I grow up. But I've been listening to some of the archive shows, some of my favorite guests, and going back through and saying, wow, oh yeah, I remember hearing that. You know, our shows are in the process, again, of being posted up on our website. But you can find all of our archive shows right now at blogtalkradio.com/purposetalkradio. And you can go back to our page and listen to the shows. You can also find some of them on purposetalkradio.com. Trying to get together the list of our former guests and links to their shows in some alphabetical organized fashion. So we'd love to talk more about this. How do you live your purpose? What do you look for? Just so that you know it really is your purpose. Talking to me and saying, hey, this is what you need to know. And I love that most of our audience does listen to archives because that means that they are signed up and are interested in the topics. But we'd like to find some opportunity where maybe we can get a little better live audience as well. So until our next show next week, so far scheduled on Friday, I am hoping that you all have a very positive week, day, month, that you look at what things are in your life. And when they come to you, that you are faced with them around, that you find the support system, the people, the places, the finances, whatever you need. Some of them might be part of the groups and things that we listed today that came out of 9/11. If they are, I'd love you to share the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations chat as well, if you're willing to, or anywhere else. Send me a private email. We'd love to hear about that as well. And then we can put it out anonymously on the group. And for now, oh, I almost forgot. I got one more piece. We need an affirmation for this week. Almost missed it. That I have to put in the chat, though. So let's see. Chat room, the affirmation would be... Affirmation would be this week. Anybody got one? Anybody in the chat room got one? I guess they would say is I am able to find... the positive direction that is a part of all tragedy. When the time is appropriate. Because I know you can't turn some of this stuff around quickly. I know that. And you can't be expected to. But like now, 14 years later, we can look back. We can look over this time and we can see what has happened over that time. So that's the affirmation for this week. I am able to find the positive direction that's part of all tragedy when the time is appropriate. And having said that, I am going to send you all off with the song I Am Who I Am. Again, by True Trinity, Janine Clark, Rachel Martinez, and myself. And until next time, I wish you all soul blessings. Thanks for listening.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me, I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit. it moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.